Monolith species came to my attention first when I was sorting through some specimens that had been donated by two private collectors. And these collectors were mainly interested in beetles, so I think they'd given the museum some bycatch. And among the specimens were these bees that I hadn't seen before. I was first very taken with the male, which is extremely densely hairy. It's covered in straw-coloured hair, which is very long on the legs. So I termed the bee a shaggy bee, and then discovered amongst the dense hair there were some strong spines or thorns on the back of the body. It's a part of the body called the thorax. And this was like nothing I'd ever seen before in an Australian bee. So the name became the shaggy spined bee.
And a good name it is.
Yes. Well, it's not the only bee that has such spines. I discovered amongst unsorted material in the collection there was yet another species that had two pairs of spines on the back of the body. And that was from the Cranbrook region. Whereas the other one, I called the shaggy spine bee, the specimens were in the Ravensthorpe region. So they were west and south of Ravensthorpe. Anyway, there were just a few specimens. And then searching further, I came upon a very different looking bee, which also had spines on the back. It was very much less hairy. And that turned out to be the female. I thought, because the female has so little hair compared to the males, perhaps they're just worn individuals. I was very interested in these and wanted to follow up. It took a couple of years before I got the opportunity. But I made a trip down to the Newdicate, Ravensthorpe, Hopetown region, and then across to the Stirling Ranges in search of these spined bees. And it wasn't until I got to the Ravensthorpe area that I actually started turning up specimens. And first we found the males. When the weather was right and during the middle hours of the day, these males were quite common around the flowers of a mallee tree called swamp mallet. And that was the only kind of mallee that we saw them visiting. Anyway, after several days, the females started to turn up. Now, this is not unusual. With solitary bees that have a short activity period in the adult stage, the males tend to emerge first. And they fly around the forage flowers awaiting the arrival of young females, which they seek to mate with. So we were there at just the right time to make a good collection of these bees, and I discovered that the females are just made the way they are. They don't have hair all over the body like the males. They have a beautiful patch of rusty hair across the back, just behind the head, but not on other parts of the body. So you'd think that they're different species to look at them, but they're very definitely one and the same species.
Very interesting indeed. Any idea where the bees have come from?
Well, I think they're native to that region, and because they're active only in the late summer period, so late January into February, probably time to coincide with their preferred mallee species, that people previously, apart from these two collectors, haven't been in the right place at the right time. The other thing I think is that they're very fast flying bees, the males especially, so they're not easy to catch. So people who are just collecting insects generally might not have been able to secure any specimens.
Any idea how many of these bees exist?
Do you mean individuals?
Yeah.
That's something that will require further work. So far, we know of them only in the Ravensthorpe region, so up to 70 kilometres west of Ravensthorpe and south to almost to the coast. But the food plant that they've been recorded from occurs fairly widely in the southwest, right up to the Meriden region, and I think there's a record from Mount Coolgardie Way. I don't know for sure whether they're restricted to that particular species of eucalyptus or whether it's one of several species they might visit. So only with further collecting at the right time of year will we work these details out.
And any idea of the population of the species?
Well, where we saw them near Ravensthorpe, they were very numerous. So you could say they're locally common and abundant. it's just a question of, you know, the range of the species. So we don't yet know with any confidence what the range will be. I suspect that we'll find them in other areas and maybe towards the east, because at the same time as collecting these shaggy spine bees, I collected a beautiful, much larger bee and got just one female. And that proved to be a species which I'd only collected before on the fringes of the Nullarbor. Maybe there's a particular kind of habitat populated by a number of species which occurs across the fringe of the Nullarbor and as far west as Ravensthorpe. Maybe so there's much to be learned. You know, we learn in small steps and eventually put together pictures of species and their habitat preferences, behaviour and so on. So we're in the early stages with this one. But there are many other species of native bees. In fact, there are hundreds of species of native bees, and quite a few of those are yet to be scientifically named and described. So sometimes I can feel a bit overwhelmed with all that there is to do, because there are so many native bees.
Now, is the shaggy-spined bee, is it dangerous at all?
Not as far as I know. Like most solitary bees, they're not aggressive. The females can sting, but they will only sting when provoked. So you'd need to pick one up in your fingers or squash it in some way against your body for it to sting you. So even if you annoy them, they won't attack you. They'll tend to flee away to safety.
So if there are people out and about, maybe doing a bushwalk or even some prospecting, and they do come across the shaggy-spined bee, what should they do?
Well, I'd certainly appreciate any specimens from other areas if people were able to collect them. But as I say, they're very fast-moving bees in the males. Females tend to settle on flowers to collect nectar and pollen, so they could be collected more easily. And I think a lot of people would find it difficult to recognise this bee as distinct from others. To see the spines, you'd really need to have the specimen under a microscope. And, of course, people who are out bushwalking won't have anything that would magnify them enough to see those spines. I think what I need to do is to get some images up on the museum website, so if anyone is interested, that they could take a look at those, and then perhaps they'd be in a better position to recognise the bees if they see them.
Terry, if people are interested by the shaggy-spined bee and they do want to get in touch, maybe they want to find out a little bit more information, how can they do so?
The best thing would be for people to ring the museum's general number, which is in the phone book, and also on the museum website. So simply Googling Western Australian Museum would lead them to the contact details.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the morning's program and educating us a little more about the shaggy-spined bee, and hopefully we learn a little bit more about it.
Well, thank you very much for your interest, Daisy.